Tomorrow, Kina Solar One, which belongs to a consortium formed by Spanish multinational Abengoa, the IDC, the PIC, and the Kina Community Trust, is going to be officially launched in the Northern Cape, close to Porfado. So there is economic activity around Porfado after all. The plant is going to produce enough power to provide electricity to roughly 95,000 homes, which is almost half of the province's entire population. So it is a really big deal for the Northern Cape, but for the development of the technology as well. I've got Dominique Gonzalez, VP of Business Development at Abengoa South Africa, on the line. Evening, Dominique. Let's just take a step back. This is your third plant in the country. Where are your other two projects located, and how long have you been operating in South Africa?
Sure. Hi, Michael. Pleased to be on the show. So these plants were developed in response to the energy crisis that the country went through in 2007-2008. So this renewable energy program was developed in direct response to the load shedding that the country experienced at that time. We entered the market in around 2010. We competed in this competitive bidding process and were awarded three projects, of which this one, Kina, is now the last one to reach operation. All three projects are now producing enough power to power almost a million people. So Kina is providing power for 95,000 homes, around 300,000 people. All three of these projects are now effectively powering almost the entire province of the Northern Cape with clean electricity.
That is just such a remarkable story. Now, Kina Solar One is a 100 megawatt parabolic trough CSP power station. And it only took 29 months to deliver via the construction period, so just over 2 years, which is impressive in itself. Just share a little bit more about how parabolic trough CSP power works.
Sure. So this is a massive project. We have a solar field in the desert up there by Porfada. That's around 300 hectares. That's a collection of mirrors out there in the desert. It's about the size of 350 rugby fields. The sun shines down on these mirrors and reflects to a central tube in the middle of this parabolic trough mirror configuration. Inside that tube is a liquid, which is then heated by the sunlight to 393 degrees. That then travels along a network of pipes to a heat exchanger in which is contained water. So we use that heated up fluid to then boil the water and produce steam. That steam is then sent to a steam turbine, and at that point, the project generates electricity much the way a conventional power plant would. So typically you would burn a fossil fuel such as coal or gas, but here we are harnessing the power of the sun to use water to heat steam and then feeding that into the steam process. One of the most important technical innovations of this project and the value that it generates is that we have a thermal energy storage system that allows us to produce power at night or when it's cloudy. So Kina has been designed with a storage and an energy storage system of 5.5 hours. And this is basically two giant molten salt storage tanks. And molten salts are the mechanism that we use to store this energy. And the plant is designed to store power for 5.5 hours. So we're able to release this in the evening hours when South Africa needs it most. So we then release that thermal energy storage typically from 4:30 in the afternoon until 9:30 or 10, when most people are getting home from work and using their appliances. And that is when we are able to generate power from the sun into the evening.
And I believe that your PPA with Eskom actually includes an incentive for that sort of peak time production. It's a very interesting element to the project, because a lot of the debate and the argument against renewables is the fact that it isn't baseload and it doesn't really solve our priority for peak load electricity. But this is proving that fact wrong.
Correct. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, when you looked at renewables, you would have technology that was expensive and also intermittent or finicky. That would mean that the power, of course, wouldn't be produced when the sun is not shining or when the wind is not blowing. Those issues have now been overcome with projects like Kina, which has now been in operation, running very smoothly for the last 9 months since we completed it. And as a result, the tariff structure that we have incentivizes this production of the energy storage. So we have a set tariff, or the standard tariff, that covers power from 5 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. And then we kick on to a peak tariff in the evening hours, which is to cover this slightly extra cost that the energy storage technology does attain. Mm. But it's very important for countries like South Africa as well to become not reliant on any fuel risks. And this is a global trend. I mean, even a lot of the Middle East, countries like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, etc., also switching across to this technology, even if they do have a lot of fossil fuels at hand, because they realize this is the future, and renewables are being considered not as something that is now window dressing, but something that makes the best business sense.
Now, you're also on record for advocating the blending of this kind of CSP power or technology with solar photovoltaic, your normal PV technology or your panels, for lowering the cost of concentrated solar. How does the blending serve to lower the overall cost?
Sure. So there's no in that type of scenario, there's very little technical integration except at the substation. But, you know, several years ago you had, and still to this day, you have two main streams of solar technology. So you have concentrated solar power or solar thermal, which is this plant which we've mentioned. And then you have PV or photovoltaics, which is panels, which is the panels that you get on houses and that can also be developed into very large utility-scale plants. The cost for PV, for panels, has decreased significantly in the last few years, up to almost 70%. But it's, of course, very difficult to store that power, and most of the types of energy storage that you can use with it are still quite early in the development phase, looking at lithium-ion batteries and the like. And molten salt storage, which we use for projects like Kena, have been around longer and are also generally cheaper to use when there's significant power storage that's required. So, you know, globally what we're seeing is that the cheapest way to bring the technology cost down of the concentrated solar power with the energy storage, and the most efficient way is now looking at blending these two technologies. So in countries like Morocco, for example, and also Chile, they are developing projects that are using PV as soon as the sun is up in the day. And what the concentrated storage does is that we produce the steam and configure it to send more of the steam into the molten salt storage tanks to be released at night. So basically what you have is that the plant is producing power from the PV panels in the day, and at night it's using the power that's generated, or the energy that is generated, right, from the storage, and then it's releasing that to use at night. And in markets like in places like Chile and Morocco, we're now developing these projects to have 17 hours of thermal energy storage, which means that you have plants producing renewable, wow, energy that is dispatchable and baseload and can be producing fully the same effect as a conventional power plant.
What a time to be alive. Now, obviously we've had the recent delays in the REAP program after being held up as one of the finest models of a public-private partnership anywhere in the world. The issues, obviously, at Eskom in particular, agendas over there, had muddied the waters around the regulatory environment for the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Program. We've hopefully put that to bed with the recent signing of the outstanding IPPs. How has all of this impacted on your appetite for further projects in the country?
I think that we, firstly, are very, very encouraged by this recent signing of these outstanding PPAs. It's allowed the industry to restart again after a couple of years of market uncertainty. And, you know, going forward, and Abengo is also a company that works a lot in water. We're one of the main desalination companies globally. In fact, we're treating desalinated seawater for around 7 million people globally. And so, you know, this renewable energy program that was set up and developed to really support South Africa and to help overcome the electricity shortages we had in 2007-2008. Now, of course, we've just had this major water crisis in the city of Cape Town and the Western and Eastern Cape. And going forward, South Africa has very little water resources to tap. Most of our major river systems have been fully utilized. There's only a limited amount of boreholes and aquifers that we can drill, and wastewater treatment plants with which we can use to recycle water. So desalination is one of the main avenues that the country really needs to use going forward for the next 10, 20 years, etc. And we hope that the government will use this very successful renewable energy program and look to replicate it with large-scale desalination. And I think that, you know, one of the most promising aspects of a project like Kena or our other two projects, Ki and Kachu, is that the projects have been developed with a key focus towards localization with regards to local job creation and local content. So more than half of the equipment and materials that we used in Kena were produced locally in South Africa. So although the technology is very international and is a very advanced global technology, all the equipment and material, or most of it, was able to be procured in South Africa. So more than 2.8 billion rand of investment was spent in South Africa, and a large portion of it was spent within in close proximity to the communities around Kena and the Northern Cape. And so therefore this project has helped to have a transformative effect on the economy of South Africa, not just on the environment.
And then lastly, Kena is Khoisan, I believe. What does it mean?
Yes, it means bright light in the Khoisan language. So obviously, when you see the project, the large mirrors or the solar collectors track the sun from east to west along the daylight sky from morning to evening, and produce a very visible reflectivity that comes off all of those mirrors.
Well, also providing a bright light for our energy future. That's Dominique Gonzalez, VP of Business Development for Abengoa South Africa, talking about the very exciting Kena Solar Worn project that is going to be providing clean, sustainable and dispatchable energy to some 95,000 South African households in the Northern Cape. Well, we've got to cross to Pusuletso for the day's news wrap, and after that we're going to be talking about youth unemployment after the quarterly labour force survey was released this week and really indicating just how much of a crisis this is. I've got a panel of very passionate education experts around the table to talk solutions to our youth unemployment crisis. You're listening to Classic Business.